Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Just when you think your day couldn't get any better, now it can. Just by joining me and listening to the next 2 hours of what will be, I promise, riveting radio. I've got in studio Dr. Glenn Pickering. And as we think about our families at Christmas time, do you feel anxious ahead of time? Are you already in that place? Or maybe you leave the gatherings feeling disappointed or upset? Well, if that is you, you are going to get help from Dr. Glenn Pickering. Help is on the way. And if you have any question specifically about your anxiousness that you're feeling ahead of family gatherings, or you're still trying to sort through feelings of disappointment, or you're still upset about the last time you were together and you're trying to figure that out, you're going to want to call and we'll sort it out for you. 877-933-2484 is the place to call. 877-933-2484 also is our text line where you can send a text. And if you're a little bit more old-fashioned, you can send me an email, bill@myfaithradio.com, with the question. The only problem with the questions that come by email and by text is that if we need to ask additional questions, we don't have you live. So you can certainly call and remain anonymous, so you don't have to give your name. But if you have a question, and because you are anxious or you're upset, and how difficult these season can be, it can be very, very stressful. And there are situations where people aren't going to show up, or they're going to show up and maybe be intoxicated, and who knows what else, multiple combinations of what can happen. So we're going to talk about that with Dr. Glenn Pickering. And we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll get it all started. Be back in just a minute.
I'm Neil Stavem with a thought about Christmas gifts. Have you received a gift that was especially meaningful? Now, most likely, it was just what you needed, and it represented careful thought from the giver. Well, here at Faith Radio, we receive gifts like this every day. These financial commitments come in all sizes from listeners all across our radio network, but they represent the same heart and forethought from friends of this ministry who value the preaching, teaching, and talk programming that helps them grow in their faith and is an effective means to reach many others for Christ. And all of these gifts are just what we need to keep Faith Radio going strong now and into the new year. So for all of you who have taken the time and thought of us by giving a gift as Christmas approaches, thank you. Your love, prayer, and support are greatly appreciated, and we're honored that you blessed us in this way. And if you'd like to add Faith Radio to your Christmas giving list, you can connect with us online at myfaithradio.com or join us for Winter Share, December 11th through the 13th.
Welcome back to the show. So glad you're with me today. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Happy Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. Sometimes I don't even know, but I think it's Wednesday. I have in my studio Dr. Glenn Pickering, and I sometimes have words that pop into my head. And the word that popped into my head earlier today was the word synthesis. So I had to double check what the word meant. And it means combination, amalgam, blend, mixture. The combination of ideas to form a theory or system. And I thought, well, you take Glenn's background in engineering, and then after being an engineer for years, he was a pastor, then he got his PhD in psychology, and you start to synthesize all of these disciplines together, and you get a mind that produces the kinds of response and answers that you don't normally hear. And that's what I have in my studio. Glenn, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. I always love being here.
You bet. And Glenn is with two N's, so it's GlennPickering.com. That is his website, and you can go learn all about him. He's written several books. His book about playing tag, the world's most dangerous game, is one I've read many, many times, and I highly recommend it.
Wow, thanks. Great intro.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Right. Yeah. So I want to encourage all of the listeners that are thinking, you know what? The last time we went to Christmas, it was a disaster. And I left feeling very disappointed and upset. And I'm already feeling anxiety about what is ahead. So I want to open up the phone lines to those questions. And I also want to just, Glenn, get some of your input to how we can start thinking about that if we're feeling that way.
Great. Thank you. Well, let me start off with people who maybe are feeling anxious already about the upcoming holidays, kind of worried about how that all might play out. And I want to just say this. If I'm anxious, I'm feeling powerless, like, oh, this bad thing might happen to me. And just feeling powerless is all by itself, honest to goodness, a way to make us feel anxious. So to all of you who are feeling anxious about, quote unquote, whatever might happen or whatever somebody else might do, I would lovingly invite you to change your thinking to this. Who do I want to be when I'm with my family this year on Christmas? Now notice, that takes you out of worrying about everybody else that you don't have any control over and helps you focus on your own self that you do have control over. And so I would just invite you to think, okay, if I quit worrying about what might happen and what somebody else might do, and instead would just prayerfully asking God to give me a picture of the person that I would want to be when I'm with my family, what does that picture look like? And already I will be off to a better start of my holidays before I even get there.
Is it a picture of love and grace, or is it something that you're thinking, how do I do self-preservation?
Well, those aren't always different. Sometimes I can have to do both of those. But I was thinking especially at this point about the picture of love and grace, and here's why. Let's say I think people in my family, they're not very welcoming or they're not very warm or somebody might say something weird or who knows what. I think, okay, who do I want to be? Well, that would suggest that I want to be welcoming. I want to be the person that makes everybody else feel like, hey, I'm glad you're here. And I think, okay, what would that look like? Well, when I come in the door, whoever I see, I'm going to say, oh, it's so good to see you. And I'm going to be welcoming to them, and I'm going to ask something about them. Or if I'm the one coming in, I'm just going to say hi to the person closest to me and say, it's so good to see you, and ask them how they've been. I'm literally going to picture myself doing some loving, welcoming thing the instant I come in the door. And then when I think, okay, and later on when we're all sitting around or eating or who knows what, again, same question. If I was going to be welcoming, what would that look like? And to really sort of see that picture and ask God to help me see that picture as clearly as I can. Because, A, the scriptures say without a vision the people shall perish. So I think that's right. We need a clear picture of what we want. But it also means, see, it takes me out of that place where I'm powerless, wondering what somebody else might do, and puts me into the place where I'm empowered because I'm focusing on what I can do. And it makes a night and day difference, even just thinking ahead to the holidays, even before they actually happen.
I love the idea, Glenn, that the minute somebody walks in the door or you walk in someone's house, you already have in your mind this this welcome, this graciousness, this positive moment of beginning.
Right. And the cool thing is, A, it's a great thing to do. It makes me a positive force instead of a negative one. But it also really takes me up. It helps me not be anxious, because if I'm anxious, I'm fearful about what might happen. But see, if I have a plan about what I'm going to do, I'm not worried about what's going to might happen, because I already know what's going to happen. I have a really clear plan, and I'm going to do that plan. And it helps me feel way less like, I don't know what's going to happen, which is what makes us feel anxious. It's what makes a scary movie scary, right? You never quite know what's going to happen next in that next frame of that scary movie.
Right.
Right?
That's why I don't go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me neither. So, But if I walk into somebody's house or somebody's home or whatever, and I'm really just really focused on who I'm going to be, it takes all that fear of what might happen next out of that.
Wow. That's a different place to be.
Yeah, it's a great place to start.
Yeah, great place to start. I was wondering if this subject would come up, and it's already come up. Anonymous caller said, my uncle is an alcoholic and is always bickering with my aunt during family events. It's hard to witness. Is it ever okay to intervene, or would that make the problem escalate? He talks down to her, starts political debates, etc.
So I would have exactly the same question, because I mean, I've seen things like that happen a lot. So it's very predictable that will happen. Now, you can ask yourself two questions. Oh, what if that happens? But I want you to think about this. That's a false question. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
which sounds a little silly or sarcastic, but I actually mean it really seriously. Like, so then instead of thinking, oh my gosh, what if? It's like, no, that'll happen. And again, see, it takes the worry out of it. I don't have to wonder what might happen in the next frame of this movie. It's like, no, I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. They bicker. They always do. Okay. Well, that by itself takes some of the anxiety out of it and the fear, thinking, oh, what if they do? It's like, well, of course they will. They always do. And then as soon as I quit thinking, oh, what if, and just start from the place that, well, of course they will, then it changes me from the fearful observer who's just watching and waiting for that other shoe to drop to a person who has a different question, like, okay, well, how do I want to handle that? And there are lots of right answers. I can think, I'm going to go to a different room, or I'm just going to start a conversation with somebody else, or I'm just going to start a conversation with one of them that's more loving or helpful, or I'm going to talk to maybe one person ahead of time who I think might want to have my Christmas go better along with me, maybe a partner, a friend, a different family member. And I'm going to say, hey, when they start arguing, which of course they will, what should we do? And even if I just have somebody who's there with me who is thinking that same thing, and then they start arguing, we just look at each other and nod and think, yeah, yeah, we knew that would happen. And there's something just reassuring about knowing that somebody else gets it.
Yeah. You're not going through this alone, are
right.
you? Yeah. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in my studio. And if you have a question about some of the complicated issues that surround families at holidays, or I'll even extend that invitation to just say in general, please give us a call. But if you're feeling anxious ahead of the time of the family events, or you're still thinking about something that happened at that maybe Thanksgiving, and you're left feeling disappointed or upset, and now you've got Christmas ahead, mm-hmm. and you need a new strategy. And maybe if you ask the question, we can give you some fresh insight and information, because Dr. Glenn Pickering is the man to ask. He is in my studio, 877-933-2484. That is a phone call or a text. You can also email me with a question, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. That should release some anxiety because that's so happy. We're talking about anxious feelings. And sometimes when you leave a holiday event feeling disappointed, we want to help you sort and process through some of those feelings. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in studio. He's my guest. And, you know, we have certain expectations about events, the significant events, the big Thanksgiving, the big Christmas Eve, and then the Christmas Day. And those are all big events, and we've got expectations maybe that go back as far as our childhood that we're still trying to capture and recreate and feel that warmth. And when those expectations are not met, you can go in the tank pretty quick, Glenn.
Yeah, it's so true. My wife and I, before I came on the show today, were talking about this old book that we both love on codependence, and it has a chapter in it called Merry Christmas and Other Disasters. And the gal talks about how, you know, she had a real clear picture always of how this whole thing was supposed to go. So even if it was going really great, but it wasn't going the way she thought it should, then she would still be upset. Because in her mind, that's not how it should be.
Mm.
And it's just a powerful way of thinking about expectations and how much they get in the way of actually being present. So if I have expectations about certain outcomes or about how other people are going to act, then I'm always going to be disappointed. And I'm always going to be real focused on what didn't happen. Or, see, I could choose to actually be grateful and notice all the amazing things that actually are happening and really be all the way present. So I just think if you have a lot of expectations for how you think things should be, I would ask you to just drop that just long enough to think, hey, you know what? I'm just going to notice every good thing. Every smile somebody says, every funny little joke somebody does, every time somebody hugs me or tells me how glad they are to see me, every bit of food that tastes really great, every little fun moment I have, how fun it was to watch the baby take a few steps and then fall down, how fun it was to play with the dog in the yard, I don't care. Just notice all those sweet little things that are happening. And then instead of being all disappointed or frustrated, I'm going to notice, oh, you know what? there were some really fun little moments mixed in there. And, you know, if you had that drunken aunt and uncle, there might be some disappointing moments too. But see, I don't want to just focus on those. I want to notice all the other moments that are also happening. Because then instead of having those expectations and feeling disappointed, I can notice all the amazing little things that are happening. And honestly, it's really cool to just stop long enough to pay attention.
Glenn, what about the feelings that are surrounding the power broker at an event where we know so-and-so will be calling all the shots?
Right.
Because if he or she shows up and treats so-and-so a certain way, well, I trust you, things are going to go in the tank pretty quick. And they wield this amount of control over the entire evening, and everybody knows it.
Is that you, Bill?
No, it's not me.
Okay, so I'm just checking.
No, I sit in the corner. Stay quiet.
All of you listeners should know that Bill has this great ministry of showing up, as he says.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed up at my mom's funeral, for example, and was very gracious and welcoming of other people. And there's just something about just showing up and being present and connecting to other people that's really cool. Now, so same thing. Let's say we had the power broker come, Mr. and Mrs. Big Deal. Everything has to be about them. I can think about that ahead of time, and I will literally be mad before I even get to the house, which means I'm already having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could think, okay, they might very well do that. Who do I want to talk to while they're doing that? What are the things I want to make sure I do when I'm here? Who are the people I want to make sure I have a chance to connect to? And I'm just going to make sure I sit by them at supper or that we walk for a little while after, or I'm just going to ask myself, instead of sort of reacting to what they probably will do, see, I want to put myself back in the proactive seat. What do I want to get out of Christmas, and what am I going to do to make sure that that happens?
If they typically come when they feel like it, and you ask them to be there at 7, and they don't show up till 8:10, and you go, there again, they've hijacked the evening,
mm-hmm,
because
right.
Now dinner is already thrown off, and I've spent all this time getting ready, and this person sort of has come in, and all of a sudden, now they're in control.
Right. And I just want to take that example, because it's a perfect example that you made up. Are you sure this isn't your family?
No, it's not my family.
So, yeah. Just checking.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is, let's say I invite people over for supper at 7, and somebody else doesn't get there till 7 or 8:30. The rest of us are having supper at 7.
Yeah.
Again, not meanly.
Right.
Just if that's what I tell people, that's what we're going to do. If my church service starts at 9 o'clock, but I don't get there at 9:15, I notice they still start at 9 o'clock because everybody else got there on time.
No.
So I just think instead of letting somebody hijack my plans, because if I put supper on hold waiting for them, I can say, well, they hijacked my plan. But see, I was actually aiding and abetting that hijacking,
mm-hmm,
and I don't want to aid and abet that. So
yeah,
I'm just going to go about my business.
Yeah, Glenn, is passive aggressiveness, is that something that comes out in bigger waves in Christmas time or holiday times, family gatherings?
Only if you live in Minnesota.
Okay. Just Minnesota.
Well, we do sort of seem to have a specialty in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, see, people talk about passive aggressive like it's its own little category. But I think, see, if I am passive, I will always eventually be aggressive. Because if I put up with stuff and put up with stuff and put up with stuff, at some point I'm going to be bitter, I'm going to be resentful, and it's all going to come out in some weird way. So I think passivity always, in the end, leads to what we would call aggression.
Yeah, it should be called passive until aggressive.
Yeah, exactly, because that's exactly how it goes. I, as a total sideline, you know, I used to work with guys who had quote-unquote anger management problems, and, you know, who there was an incident at home, the police were called, they got sent to Glenn Pickering for anger management training. And over and over and over again, what I found with those guys, everybody would say, well, they're too angry. And over and over and over again, I found they weren't angry enough. Something little will come along. They don't say anything. That happens 200 times in a row. Finally, some little thing goes wrong and they explode. And people think, how could you make such a big deal of that little thing? It's like, well, they packed 200 reactions into that one.
Yeah.
So you see the same thing in families at Christmas. So, for example, if you tend to be the passive one at Christmas and not speak up, I would just prayerfully challenge you to start speaking. Not in a mean way, not in a loud way, to just say your preference. If somebody from your family calls and says, hey, we're thinking about having supper at 5 or 5:30, which one's better for you? I don't want you to say, I don't care. Because you do care. I want you to voice your opinion. If there are people you especially like in your family, I want you to make a point of sitting by them at some point and making sure you have a conversation with them. So instead of sort of passively letting that whole process happen to you, I would just ask you to just really speak up all of your opinions when you have them in some really simple little way.
Mm-hmm. Now, Glenn, family members will always bring some certain level of dysfunction or brokenness to the table because that's what families are.
We are human, yes.
We are human. So are those? Do those get addressed? Do they get brushed aside? What happens with all that stuff?
Well, it sort of depends what the pattern is in your family because, you know, we all have our own unique mess. But what I think is, my first question is always for myself, okay, if I'm not going to be part of the dysfunction, what would I do instead? So let's say in my family, my dysfunction is people don't say anything personal about themselves. Okay. Well, when somebody asks me at supper, hey, Glenn, anything new with your life? I'm going to actually make a point of talking about something personal in my life.
Mm.
If people are tend to be sort of argumentative, when somebody else says an opinion, I don't argue back with them. I say, oh, what makes you think that or how come? And actually just be interested in them instead of fighting about them because my goal is to actually get to know them, not to be right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just important to think, okay, what's that dysfunction look like? And give it some prayerful thought and think, okay, if I was going to do something different than that, so that I'm not actually just part of that dysfunction, what would that look like? And it doesn't have to be big. I'm not talking about doing something dramatic. I'm just talking about if you're a little part of that, if you really, really focus on doing your part differently, what would that look like? Because when Jesus said, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye? You don't see the log in your own eye. You know, I've heard people talk about that in a way that's like harsh or something. But Jesus wasn't trying to be harsh. He's just trying to say, if there's a problem with you and another person or you and a group, it's important to just ask, if I was going to do my part differently, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm. All right. I've got Dr. Glenn Pickering in studio. And if you have a question, we would love to hear from you as you are trying to maybe reduce your anxiety about the upcoming Christmas festivities. If that is you, you can call and remain completely anonymous. But we'd love to hear your question because it's probably going to resonate with a lot of people. And if you've been to a series of holiday family events, even this year, and you left a little on the upset side or maybe disappointed, and you've got some processing to do, please call and ask a question. We'll sort it out for you. 877-933-2484 is the number. You can also send a text to that number, 877-933-2484. And my guest is Dr. Glenn Pickering. His website is glennpickering.com, glennpickering.com. We'll take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll deal with some questions. You're listening to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thanks for being with me. Back to the show. If you have a question for Dr. Glenn Pickering, we're talking about family dynamics at the holiday season, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. That will get you to our studio line. We've got a couple of callers up on the studio line. Both wish to remain anonymous. The first one is with us right now. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. You have a question for Glenn.
Yeah. I was just curious about, like, kind of what you would have to say about in-law relations regarding your small children and just kind of the sharing of opinions and things like that that go along with it when you're with them. Does that make sense?
Can you give us one specific? It'll help us kind of focus the conversation a little bit.
Yeah. Just kind of, like, if I do something that my daughter is 18 months. So if my daughter is doing something that I don't want her to do, like play by the TV, and I don't want her to knock their TV over because they don't have it, you know, hooked up, and she gets mad at me and starts crying if I have to pull her away from it. And then grandma will say things like, mean mommy, or, you know, like that kind of thing. And just a lot of, like, suggestions all the time. Oh, don't let her cry herself to sleep. Do let her cry herself to sleep. And it's always like, you're never doing the right thing.
Right. So the message that you get is that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Nothing you ever do is good enough.
Yeah.
I read this great book on the game of tag a little while ago. It was so interesting. I'd recommend it. Okay, I was really reading my own book, but it's still really good. You can look it up on the website. In fact, there's a free version of it. You can go online at glennpickering.com and download it. So in the game of tag, you know, somebody has to be it, right? And who do I want to be it? Not me. So what Grandma's doing is making you it so that she doesn't have to be. So she sees the baby crying because he's pulled away from the TV, and Grandma doesn't want the baby to be mad at her. So she throws you into the bus so the baby's mad at you. It's not even because she doesn't like you. It's just that she doesn't want to be it. She doesn't want to be the one under the bus, so she throws you under the bus. Now, now people say, well, you got to confront certain behavior. But I've never found confrontation to be helpful because it just makes the other person defensive.
Right.
So I'm going to always say something like, hey, I know you're trying to be helpful and kind of comfort her. But I think if you would just kiss her on the head or something, that would be better. So I'm not going to say, stop doing that, which, A, always is going to sound confrontational, and it still doesn't leave the other person with a clear idea of what you would like them to do instead. So I'm just going to very gently say something like, hey, I know you're just trying to help, basically. Here's a way you really could help. And notice I'm giving honest feedback. I'm not tolerating stuff I don't want to tolerate. But I'm doing it in a way where I'm not creating a controversy. I'm actually looking for a positive answer. So, me and Mommy, I know you're just trying to comfort her, but honestly, could you just kiss her on the head or something? That would actually make her feel way better, I think. Oh, sure. Grandma kisses her on the head. She gets to be the hero. We don't mind. I'd much rather have her be the hero than the jerk, right? So I'm going to look for what can I do? So you're trying to be helpful. Here's a way you could actually be helpful. And if I'm you, I have that sort of little blueprint in the back of my mind all the time. Hey, I know you're trying to be helpful. Yeah. Here's what would really be helpful. And I'm going to say some version of that all the time. And here's how come. I want you to have that clear blueprint. Because when conflict hits us and the adrenaline kicks in, we're not really thinking very clearly.
Right.
So if I have to come up with a plan, then I'm not going to do it very well. So I literally want you to have a plan before it happens.
Yeah.
And that plan is a loving plan and a plan that creates connection instead of disconnection.
Great counsel, Glenn, and great question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, we have another caller on our line from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You have a question for Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn, I appreciate you being on. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm in a situation. I'm married to a Christian man who is so generous and good in so many ways to so many people. And I want to honor God's word. And he's the head of our household, and I look to him for spiritual direction. And I want to honor my husband. He has been upset with my family, and I have not been allowed to see my family for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And my mother is about to turn 88. And I know the Bible also says, honor your father and your mother. And there's a particular verse that says, do not forsake your mother in her old age.
Right.
So there is a hurt in him that I've been praying for because I can't do anything about it. He won't discuss it with me. So I'm praying and I'm waiting for God's hand to move in his heart. But how do I balance? And as my mother is getting older, it's harder.
Right.
How do I balance honoring my husband, but honoring my mother and doing God's will?
Great. Let me start here. If you go on my website, which, by the way, is glennpickering.com. Just kidding here. What you'll notice, I have a lot of rants on there, little things I talk about. And one of my things that drives me crazy is when people take Christian concepts, like really important concepts, like the man being at the head of the household, and then apply a worldly definition to it, like that means he makes all the decisions. And sometimes when a guy says that to me, well, Glenn, I'm the head of my house, so I make the decisions, right? I think, wow, so you read that one page of the Bible, but none of the other ones? Because all the other ones talk about being a servant, sacrificial love, caring for other people, et cetera, et cetera. So if I really take that biblical concept seriously, that I'm the head of my house, what that means is I'm the servant of everybody in my house. And it's my job to make sure their needs, not my needs, are honored, because that's what servant leadership looks like. So, and if my wife is, quote, biblically submissive, not in a worldly definition, but a true biblical definition, then when I ask her what she wants, she tells me.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand, when the Bible is talking about the man being the head of the house and woman being submissive, that means that man is always asking her, honey, what do you need? And she tells him, believing that, of course, he will want to take care of her. Just like when, mm-hmm. when Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given unto you. It's the same with the Father. We come before the Father, ask for what we want, assuming, of course, he'll take care of us. That's the role model. So it's not your job to quit talking because you're trying to honor him. It's your job to be talking because you want to honor him. It's your job to talk to your husband about what you want and why it's so important to you. And there's a part of him that's really hurt, which I totally understand. And then it's your job to say, great, I get it might be hard for you to be with my family. What can I do when we're together or before we go there to be comforting to you or to protect you or to take care of you so you don't feel alone when you're there, which apparently you do? How can I help you not be alone when you're with my family?
When I have made attempts to talk about the issue, mm-hmm. he will not make one noise at all. He will not partake in conversation.
Okay. Well, do you have any guess about what happened to him?
Not regarding the family or regarding prior to? Or,
yeah, right, huh?
Yes, I know what he is upset about.
Okay.
I don't, from my perspective, I don't think it warrants this. And I guess my biggest issue is, if you're a Christian, forgiveness is the basis of Christianity to mm-hmm. a large degree.
Right.
But there has to be a hurt that is overriding his willingness to forgive.
Right. So if I'm you, depending on how strong you feel about this, I don't say, gosh, honey, I wish we could see my family. I say, honey, I'm going to go see my family. I would really love you to come with. You don't have to if you don't want. But if you do, I will do everything I can to protect you and care for you when we're there. And I really want to go.
Sounds like a good plan, Glenn. Once again, I appreciate your counsel and wisdom.
Thank you.
I love the call and your question. I hope we covered what you had hoped to achieve.
Yep. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for calling. There's another caller, Glenn. When my husband and I married, we agreed that his family would get Christmas Eve and mine would get Christmas Day. That worked well until his parents divorced. Mm-hmm. Now his dad doesn't want to split the holiday with his mom, and he wants us to come to him on Christmas Day instead of seeing my family. He's been making really rude remarks about Christmas and how we are choosing my family over him and kicking him when he is down. My husband and I aren't sure what to do. We want to honor him, but we also don't want to throw my family aside. Everyone lives hours apart, so we can't do both. We've had our first child this year, and we don't want to spend hours driving with a new baby.
The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And no would be the right answer. Now, here's what I mean. When I'm with somebody who's really manipulative like that, like literally being a bully about it, if I'm not careful, I'll do one of two very human reactions. I'll either sort of shut down, withdraw, kind of be placating, or I'll lash out myself and turn into a bully back. And no matter which one of those I pick, I've literally lost myself. I'm not being true to myself. So I need to ask myself this question. If I wasn't being manipulated one way or the other and just did what me and God both agree is actually the right thing to do, what would that be?
Yeah.
And if it's, hey, I get you divorced, so we're not going to be with you on Christmas instead of my family because that's not really right. But if you want to find a different time where we can visit with you so that you know that you're important to us, that's perfectly great. But we're not going to be taken hostage, because as soon as I give in to manipulation or lash back against it, I've lost track of myself. I just need to ask myself, if I wasn't afraid, and my wife and I ask ourselves this question all the time, if you weren't afraid, what would you do?
Another great piece of counsel, Glenn.
Thank you.
Really good. Another caller said, in my family, My dad likes to manipulate and control every situation. So we have this tradition of spending Christmas Eve at his house, and then we go around the circle and we talk about our win and what we accomplished over the year. But it never fails when it gets to him. He will talk about how he is so disappointed in our youngest sister that she isn't where he wants her to be in life. And this just brings up things that are very embarrassing, and then a big loud fight breaks out. A little backstory, our mother passed away in 2010, and she really did all of the raising of my siblings and I, and our father was never involved with us. But now that we are adults, he wants to be a part of our lives more, but I honestly don't know how to proceed. I really don't look forward to these situations, and I'm not sure what to do.
I'm real curious about whether sister is there at the celebration, because that would shift my answer a bit.
Okay. I'm assuming she is.
Okay.
I'm guessing she is.
You have several good options and a whole bunch of bad ones. If I know that pattern's going to happen, I could talk to everybody else in my family who I think might be open to it and say, hey, when Dad says, what are your accomplishments? Let's say, hey, how about if we talk about something that made us happy this year instead? Or how about if we just talk about a place we saw God in our life this past week? Or what if we actually just each said one good thing about all the other people at the table? Or I'm going to kind of do whatever I can to mount a very gentle rebellion where me and at least one or two other people agree we're going to do that thing differently in a more
like
positive
that.
Way right from the beginning. So instead of waiting for it to go bad and then reacting, we're going to try and set it up differently. So even if one of us says, well, let's do it this way instead, and one other person says, hey, that's a great idea, let's do that, and just starts talking. See, we're now going to have a family conversation, but it's going to be a qualitatively different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, instead of just passively waiting for something bad to happen, I actively, proactively create a different situation.
But Dad is extremely manipulative and likes to control. So if the kids start intervening and saying, we're going to go the other direction, one that you're not suggesting, that could create its own problem.
It will. It will. And this is going to sound wrong. So I kind of wish I was talking to the person in person, but I'll just say this. So what? Now, here's what I mean. Let's say I tell you that my three-year-old wanted to eat a cookie before supper, but I'm not going to let her. And you say, oh, Glenn, but she might throw a tantrum. What's the correct answer? Yeah? She still didn't get the cookie. And so what?
Mm-hmm.
Not so what, like I don't care about her. So what, like that's not going to change my behavior. And as long as I think, oh, what if somebody else explodes? You need to think, well, of course he will. And literally, so what? We're done letting that manipulate our behavior, just like I was saying to the previous person about how I have to be clear, what would I do if I wasn't being manipulated, and then just stick to that game plan. So if I really think it's a cool idea to talk about something God did in our life this week, and I'm the one that said, hey, that's a cool idea, and I start, and Dad starts putting a fuss like, they're not doing it the old way. I'm just going to say, yeah, I know, Dad, we're just trying something else. And then I'm going to go right back to telling my story.
Okay.
I'm not going to do anything else except just go right back to what I was doing.
Glenn, at what age do we revert to when we're in that family environment?
That is such a great question. I think we each revert to the age that we got stuck in. So, for example, if everybody in my family treated me like the baby, they take care of me all the time, I never have to do anything myself, they act like I can't do anything myself, so they always do everything for me, and I sort of get stuck at that age where I don't have to do anything to take care of myself, that's how I'm going to act when I'm with the family.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't get a chance to be the kid, because right away I'm supposed to start parenting my other kids, so I don't get a chance to grow past that place, so at 7 or 8 I have to start parenting the other kids, I will go back to being about 7 or 8. It's like, where did my development get stuck? Because wherever it got stuck, that's what I'm going to go back to.
Wow.
If I grew up in an icky family, I started drinking when I was 14, so I checked out. When I go back there, I'm going to be 14.
And that's why family relationships can be so complicated. Yeah. All right. Let me take a little break. I'm talking to Dr. Glenn Pickering. If you have a question about anxiety or disappointment at family time festivities, give us a call. Ask the question. 877-933-2484 is the studio line. Also, a text place you can send a text message, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 11 minutes until the top of the hour. Dr. Glenn Pickering is in studio. And one of the things I love about Glenn, I'll use the word synthesize, because he can take so many different disciplines from his past experience as a logical engineer and a pastor and a psychologist with a PhD, put them all in a big crock pot, and then you get some pretty interesting stew. And if you have a question for us, please call 877-933-2484. Question just came in, Glenn. But I want to first also go to your website, glennpickering.com. That's two N's, GlennPickering. And Glenn has this great offer. He will have a 20-minute conversation with you. How cool is that? Glenn, what does it take? Just go on the website?
That's right. It just says free 20-minute consultation. You click on that, and it comes right to me.
And then you reset up a time to talk for 20
exactly.
minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is a bold, gracious, generous offer. GlennPickering.com is where you go and click on the, I would love to talk to Glenn for 20 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that today as well.
All right. I would love to hear from you, Bill.
Yeah, question that just came in, Glenn. People are stuck in the age they had a developmental issue or conflict at home. How do we heal ourselves and become unstuck?
That's a great question. I love that question. I'm just going to take a second
smart
and say,
listeners.
Yeah, say thank you for that question. That's a really smart question. Let me come back to Jesus saying, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, not the log in your own eye? If I got stuck at age, we'll just say 11, just to pick a number. I could blame all the people in my family for getting stuck there, and it might even be because of what happened in my family, so it's not like that would be untrue, but it's incredibly disempowering because I'm still focused on being stuck. I could ask myself this sort of question I've been asking our listeners to ask themselves. If instead of behaving like I'm 11 when I come home, how do I want to behave? Literally, who do I want to be? And who do I want to be helpful to? Because when we're stuck, guess who we're focused on?
Us.
Yes, our own selves.
Mm-hmm.
The instant I think, okay, if I want to behave differently, not like I'm 11, who could I be helpful to? What way could it be helpful? Could I help with supper? Could I bring something? Could I ask people ahead of time? Could I be the guy who welcomes everybody at the door? How could I bring a fun game to play? I mean, what could I do that'd be helpful to at least one other person there? And the instant I asked myself that question, I literally just broke out of being stuck.
Wow. That didn't seem that hard.
No, life is really easy, it turns out. Okay, it's not. But
yeah. So there are simple steps you can take. There are little things you can pay attention to.
Right.
And it can move you out of a stuckness.
Right. And I'm going to ask God to help me with this because God is really great at helping with this. I'm going to say, God, show me a picture of the person I can be at that gathering so I'm not stuck. Instead of being stuck, how would it look like if I was really free to be the person I want to be? Who is that? God's going to help me see a picture of that. And then I'm going to say, great, and who could I share that giftedness with? In what way? Of course, God will help me see that picture too. And I'm going to go to that gathering with a clear sense of how I want to be different and who I want to be different with. And I will literally come to that with a different mind and a different heart.
Mm. But sometimes, Glenn, at Christmas traditions, you show up and Uncle Leo always makes the fire and Aunt Betty always makes the Jell-O mold. There's nothing you can really do because everyone has a defined role. So how do you create your usefulness when everybody's in their routine?
Even if Uncle Fred always makes the fire, I could chat with him while he's making the fire.
Okay.
I could tell him about how great it is that we had the tradition because I love having a fire and it's such a sweet thing.
Right.
I could stand next to the fire afterwards and say, I love that you built this. I love being warm. I love a fireplace. Thank you, Uncle Fred, for making that fireplace. I could decide ahead of time I'm going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. And Uncle Fred's going to go, who are you?
What the bleep just happened?
Yeah, that's going to be that is always when you start mixing things up and you get in somebody's routine.
Mm-hmm.
At least when you show a certain presence, you can always engage people and compliment them and be with them where they're doing.
Look for something they're doing right.
Yeah, yeah.
Look for something somebody's doing right. Somebody has to be doing something right in that group.
Yeah, and then just to go about it as prayerfully as you can.
Right, exactly. And I mean, to just really take God with me because I know. Myself, I can't do that, but we have freedom in Christ. And I always think, if you get triggered at Christmas with your family, which of course you probably will at some point, and you can feel that triggering response happen in you, I want you to just slow down and think, okay, I could respond that way. or I could become what Glenn's always talking about being a second responder. I could give 4 seconds, ask God to, and I'm literally going to be praying while this is happening, to put a better sentence or a better word or a better phrase on my heart and then say that. So I can't not get triggered. I don't think we have that in us. It's like if you hit my knee is going to kick out. Mm-hmm. But I can decide, hey, when I get triggered, which will happen, what am I going to do? And I can think to myself, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to give myself 4 seconds to think. I'm going to ask God to give me a different thing to say than I usually do, and then I'm going to say that. And mm-hmm. I can literally have that plan before I ever get to the house.
Mm-hmm. All right, Glenn, I got a couple questions I'm going to try to get through before our time runs out, if that's okay with you. My daughter-in-law and son are very judgmental towards other family members. They aren't raising their children right. They spend their money wrong. They can offer a grace and compassion to everyone else except their siblings. How does a mother handle this at family gatherings? There are always hurt feelings. I believe my daughter-in-law initiates some of it, but my son is guilty too. What's a mother to do?
Okay. I call that game team tag, where me and you agree somebody else is the bad one, so they're inviting you into that game. Let's me and you talk about how bad somebody else is. It's an icky game. And there are two powerful ways you can outward break out of it. I can either say something about myself, or I can ask a question about them. So if somebody says, oh, my brother's so blah, 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 I'm going to say something about myself. Like, oh, you know what? When I was that age, I actually kind of struggled with that same thing. And I could tell a little story about myself about how I actually have a similar struggle. Or I could ask the person the question that said, brother's always doing blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, that's kind of true. If we're going to try and be helpful, what do you think we could do that would be helpful? How do you think we could help them kind of change that pattern? So I can either say something about myself, or I can ask a question to the person who's being like that. And here's why it's important. In team tag, we're always talking about somebody else. Me and you are talking about a third person who's bad. So I'm going to bring the conversation back to one of us who are actually in the conversation. So I'm going to say something about me. I'm going to ask a question about you. So now we're actually having a conversation about somebody who's actually in the conversation instead of about somebody who's not there. And oftentimes they will join me in that conversation.
Mm, all right. With just a couple minutes left, Glenn.
Yep.
Gentleman writes in and says, one of my families is quite large, and my stepdad and two oldest stepbrothers are very loud and controlling. When it comes to dinner conversations, it always ends up with them talking politics, and no one else can really carry on a conversation, and eventually everyone gets sick of it and leaves the table. There's that controller I was talking about, that power broker that goes, oh, when he starts in, it's going to clear the room.
So somebody from your family did call in. All right, well. Again, I can think, okay, who am I going to be? Am I going to sit at that table resentful? Am I going to just sort of say a little prayer for myself to be calmer when I'm at the table? Am I going to make a point of talking to as many other people as I can before supper starts and as many people as I can after supper ends? Or mm-hmm. I can think, okay, given that that's very likely to happen, who do I want to be? And what could I do that at least for me would break the cycle? And sometimes people say, well, Glenn, if I do my part differently, there's no guarantee other people will. And I think, mm-hmm. yeah, there's not. But see, God is always shaping me and the other person. So if I'm really working hard at doing my part differently, yeah, they might respond differently over time, gradually. It's very likely. But even if they don't, God is still working and doing a work in me, helping me be less passive, more proactive, a little stronger, a little straighter, a little more loving. And those are all good things to be doing.
Yeah. Glenn, we didn't cover all the questions. They're still coming in. So thank you to all the listeners. And I'm sorry we did not get to your questions. But the questions are great, so I'll hang on to them next time we get Glenn in the studio. Glenn Pickering has been my guest. Go to glennpickering.com to learn more. And if you want a consultation with him free of charge for 20 minutes, you can sign up and say, I would like that conversation, glennpickering.com. That wraps up our time with Glenn. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, Rick Madsen and John Afonso will be in our studio. We're going to talk about evangelism, my favorite subject, and how we be winsome in this season of a lot of stress. We'll continue this discussion. We'll be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.